out of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And it certainly has to do with Easter. It has to do with the resurrection. It's from John 11, 25 and 26. Let's read it together. That's a pretty significant question. Do you believe this? And I ask you that this morning. Do you believe this? Let's sing together, Christ Arose. It's 232 in your hymnal. 232, Christ Arose. People said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. You know, that particular hymn was written back in the year 1874. Long time ago. George, you were just a young fellow then. Yes. 1874. And it was written by a Baptist minister by the name of Robert Lowry. And he penned the words of that song that we just sang, one of the most stirring hymns that we sing at Easter. It's a hymn that it probably just wouldn't feel like Easter if we did not sing Christ Arose. Lo, in the grave he lay. And you know, just notice how these verses, the verses on that particular Easter hymn, they contrast the impotence of death and suffering with the resurrection power of Christ. What a contrast when we think of the words in that hymn. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Vainly, it says, they watch his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord. Death cannot keep its prey, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord. Now, as a pastor, I have probably conducted 250 funerals in my ministry. When I was in Caribou pastoring, I had 127 funerals up there. And it was just, it just seemed like every time I turned around, I was having a meeting with the funeral director. But yet, at the same time, you know, as I've conducted those funerals, I have tried to deal with families who have experienced loved ones passing on. Dealing with death is a very, very difficult issue for many people. We lose people that we love. We don't want to say goodbye to them. But yet, that's part of life. And the truth of this great hymn has significance for us here today. Now, here on the 21st of April, 2019, that Christ is arose. Because we know that because he lives, because he's risen, we don't have to fear funerals. In fact, they ought to be the most joyful, celebrative time ever for any person. Because we're going on to see Jesus. And it's great to celebrate. And that's what Easter is about. You know, the second stanza, or the chorus to that great hymn says, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain. And he lives forever, forever. And forever means forever. With his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Do we get that? That Jesus has risen from the dead? Or is this a day that we just take we think of it as a long weekend or a time just to have time off from work? Or do we really think about Easter, about resurrection, as being the most important day ever in the history of mankind? I would suggest to you this morning that this day that we celebrate the resurrection is the most important day ever known to anyone. Because it's a day when death has been swallowed up in victory. And it's the day when we as believers in Jesus Christ, we do not need to fear death any longer. You see, I want to draw your attention this morning to this great passage that we just read a few moments ago from 1 Corinthians 15. The resurrection, you know, what does that mean to you? If you're a Christian, you can rejoice in the fact that Christ has risen from the dead. But let me ask you the question this morning. What if there were no resurrection? What if the resurrection did not happen? What would the consequences to that be? Would it be here among us today? What if the resurrection of Jesus Christ is just a first century myth to be ignored and marginalized as some kind of secondary issue? What if that were the case? The implications of that approach would be devastating. Devastating to Christianity, because as Paul says, we'd be still in our sins. We'd be still, life would be futile. It would be a waste of time for you and I to get up on a Sunday morning and come to church. You might as well lock the doors and nail them shut, because there'd be no purpose. There'd be nothing to it. I want to draw your attention to what Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You're still in your sins, he says. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are all men most to be pitied. We're to be pitied if the resurrection did not take place. Without question, if Jesus is still in the grave, if he is perpetually the sufferer and never the victor, then you and I today are hopelessly lost. We're hopelessly lost. And although that is not the case, I want us to think just for a moment hypothetically. What if? What if? We come up with a lot of what ifs in life. What if? What if? What if I were, you know, this place instead of that place? You know, I wouldn't have gotten a speeding ticket if I wasn't driving so fast. What if? What if? How many times a day do you use those two words, what if? But what if the resurrection was not a reality? What if that did not happen? What if Jesus Christ were still dead and he were in the grave? What if? Well, I want to suggest three things to you very briefly this morning. First of all, you would still be in your sins if that were the case. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, you'd still be in your sins under the tyranny of death, along with the most vile and unbelieving pagan. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then sin won the victory. Sin is alive. We know that for sure today in this day and age. We know sin is everywhere. But Jesus is the victor over sin. Sin when we put our trust in him. If Jesus remained in the grave, then when we die, we would stay dead. It would just be like throwing an animal into a hole. That would be it. There would be no future. There would be no hope. Furthermore, since the wages of sin is death, were you to remain dead, death and eternal punishment would be all that you would have for the future. That's all you'd have to look forward to. The purpose of trusting Christ is for forgiveness. That is the heart of the gospel. That is why these three folks over here, as they're baptized this morning, they're saying to the world that Jesus Christ has forgiven me and I am going to walk in the newness and the power of his Spirit all the days of my life. I'm going to walk with him. It's not I, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for you. The purpose of trusting Christ is for forgiveness because it is from sin that we need to be saved. We don't need to be saved from anything else but sin itself. Christ died for our sins, the Bible says, according to the gospel, according to the word of God. He was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. And so his death would be in vain if the resurrection did not take place. Your faith in him would be pointless if there was not a resurrection. Your sins would still be counted against you, and you would have no sacrificial lamb. You would have no one to take your sin unto himself. You would be still dead in your sin, and you would have no hope and no God. The second thing to remember is this. If there were no resurrection, then as this passage says, those who also have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. There are different groups that interpret this verse in different ways. Some come to the conclusion that the Bible here maybe is talking about soul sleep or even purgatory. I've heard that one mentioned. But it has nothing to do with that because very clearly throughout the Gospels and throughout the New Testament, the Bible teaches us that to be absent from the Lord is to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so what this is saying here is that every Old Testament saint, every New Testament saint, and every person who has professed Christ since Paul wrote these words, or since Jesus died on the cross, would be suffering in torment at this very moment if Christ had not been risen from the dead. And that would include, of course, Paul himself. It would include the rest of the apostles. It would include some of the great reformers like Augustine and Luther and Calvin and John Wesley and Charles Wesley, D.L. Moody and Billy Graham and others, and the faithful and prayerful saints that we've known, that every believer in every age would be in a place the Bible calls hell. Their faith would have been vain. Their sins would not have been forgiven. And their destiny would be eternal damnation forever. That would be the case if the resurrection had not taken place. But here's the third one. In light of all the other consequences, the last is obvious. If there had not been a resurrection, if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, Paul says, we are all, of all men most to be pitied. We're to be pitied. Without Christ's resurrection, without his salvation, and without the blessing it brings, Christianity would be vain. Christianity would be pointless. Christianity would be pitiable. I'm not sure if that's a good word or not. Pitiable. Well, go home, look it up, and come back and challenge me on it. But without the resurrection, we would have no Savior. We would have no salvation. We would have no forgiveness. We would have no gospel. We would have no church. We would have no meaningful faith. We would have nothing to hold on to in times of trouble, in times of sadness, in times of difficulty. We would have no life, and we would never have hope for any of those things. None of them. This would all be a big mistake if there had not been a resurrection. This all would be a waste of time if there had not been a resurrection. To have hoped in Christ alone in this life would be to teach, to preach, to suffer, to sacrifice, and to work entirely for nothing. What would the good of it been? If Christ is still dead, then he not only has no ability to save you in the future, he cannot even help you now, at this very moment, for whatever trials you're going through, even at this moment, if Christ had not been risen. The Christian life would be mockery. It would be a charade. It would be tragic. It would be a cruel joke. It would be a hoax, the greatest hoax of all time. Christians who suffer and even die for the faith would be just blind and pathetic as those so-called believers who followed cult leaders like Jim Jones back in the 70s or David Koresh and the Branch Davidians back in the 90s and Marshall Applewhite of Heaven's Gate cult. It would be just like that. Just like that. But since a Christian has no Savior but Christ, no Redeemer but Christ, and no Lord but Christ, if Christ is not raised, he is not alive, and our Christian life is lifeless. We would have nothing to justify our faith. We would have nothing to justify our coming together. We would have nothing to justify our preaching, our witnessing, our sending missionaries, our worship, anything. Our hope in this life and in the next would have absolutely no purpose whatsoever. We would deserve nothing but the compassion that's reserved for, as the book of Proverbs says, for fools. But God did raise his son. Jesus did come alive on the third day. Our Lord came alive from the dead, and he who was delivered up because of our sin and because of our transgressions was raised because of our justification. When he raised, our justification was made possible for us to enter into the presence of God and find access to him. and find forgiveness with Him. And because Christ lives, I can face tomorrow. Because Christ lives, we too shall live. The God of our fathers, the Bible says in John 14, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom He had put to death by hanging Him on the cross, that He is the one whom God exalted to His right hand as Prince and as Savior to grant repentance and forgiveness of sins. You see, we're not to be pitied. For Paul immediately ends this dreadful what-if section. And it's probably one of the most discouraging part of this entire chapter, you know, to ask the question, what if there was no resurrection? For him to end this, he's saying, but now Christ has been raised from the dead. Period. Christ has been raised from the dead. Factual. No matter how you get around it, no matter what kind of scientific arguments, no matter what kind of information the world may feed you, it doesn't matter. The Bible says, and history itself proves, that Jesus is risen from the dead, even as He said. And because of that, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ today, if He lives in your heart, and you call yourself a child of God, you can say this beyond the wildest imagining, beyond a shadow of a doubt. You can say, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day, as Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Those who do not hope in Christ alone for salvation, unfortunately, the Bible says, are the real fools because they don't know what they're missing out on. That sounds like harsh language, doesn't it? But they're the ones who need our testimony, our prayers, our love, as we share the goodness and the grace of God with them. You see, don't forget about the resurrection. The what-ifs of the resurrection have all been taken care of. We don't need to worry about those what-ifs any longer. We need to be concerned about whether we know the Savior, whether we're walking in the resurrection power of Christ. You see, we need to be able to proclaim it and to declare it and to live it and to love it every single day. And so He is risen indeed. Even as He said. Even as He said. And there ought to be absolutely nothing that would shake us loose from that conviction. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning if there's anyone here in this place who maybe they were asking that question, what if? Lord, I pray that You would solidify in their minds the reality that Jesus did rise from the dead, that He's alive. More importantly, Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here this morning that has never put their trust in You, never invited Jesus into their lives, Lord, today that they would admit the fact that they need the Savior, and they're willing to turn and to ask for Your forgiveness and invite Christ into their lives. They would believe that Jesus died for them on the cross and that He rose from the dead. And Lord, it's a very simple prayer. It's a prayer like this: Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I want to turn from my sins, and I ask Your forgiveness. I believe Jesus to be Your Son. I believe that He died for my sins and that You raised Him up to life. And so today, beginning this very moment, I want Him to come into my heart and take control of my life. I want to trust Jesus as my Savior and follow Him as my Lord from this day forward. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer this morning, if you'd like to talk to somebody what it means to know Jesus in a personal way, please come and see us, myself or one of our deacons after the service today. We'd be delighted to share the good news and how you can receive Christ. We're going to sing together, Jesus Saves, Jesus Saves, and He can save, and He does save, and He will save to the uttermost.